The U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken heads to the Middle East days after Israeli forces kill yet more Palestinians. What is Washington's role in the worsening conflict? And what wider challenges does the Biden administration face in the Middle East? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Mohammed Jamjoum. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is visiting Israel and the West Bank on a trip to the Middle East beginning in Egypt. It will be his first to the region since a new far-right government came to power in Israel and comes just days after Israeli forces killed more Palestinians in Jenin. We'll be looking at what to expect from the visit in more detail with our guests in a few moments. But first, Al Jazeera's Ahmed Maher explains how that raid unfolded.
Palestinians in Jenin pay their respects to nine people killed in an Israeli military raid on the occupied West Bank on Thursday. They are buried next to dozens of other Palestinians who died over the past year in Israeli incursions into the Jenin refugee camp. This is the first time Israeli forces have stormed the narrow alleyways of the Jenin refugee camp in the past several months, according to locals. Their past raids were limited to the outskirts. People here woke up to a pitched battle between Israeli army forces and Palestinian fighters in this road in the densely populated camp.
I was leaving for work at 7 in the morning. I looked outside. Soldiers were coming out of four cars. They took over this house here and another rooftop and started shooting at the fighter's house for half an hour, after which they shot anti-tank weapons at the place. That's when we believe the fighters were killed.
Families here are frustrated and exhausted because these Israeli military raids have become regular, part of their daily routine. And they say they stay up late every night fearing the next military raid. And they started asking this question, when will it be my turn?
Fatima Jabr lives next to a house that was raided. She says for months, she and her family have been living in fear of being killed, injured, or paralyzed.
It was a battlefield. I couldn't move in my house because it overlooks the shooting. I stayed in the inner rooms. I couldn't even go to the toilet if I needed to. I'm terrified.
One of the victims of this new raid was a 61-year-old woman. Locals here say she was shot dead in the neck by Israeli forces on the rooftop of her home. The rubble of this house and its charred walls bearing witness to what's become a near daily nightmare for Palestinians in Jenin. Ahmed Maher, Al Jazeera, Jenin refugee camp.
The attack brings the number of Palestinians killed by Israeli forces in the first few weeks of this year to at least 30. Our diplomatic editor James Bayes in occupied East Jerusalem explains what might be expected from Blinken's visit at a time of increasing tension.
I'm standing at Damascus Gate in Jerusalem. Now, this is one of the main entry points into the old city. It's where Palestinians from East Jerusalem head on their way to the Al-Aqsa Mosque to prayer on Fridays and every other day of the week. And you can see people now, if I get out of the way, leaving the Friday prayers. It is normal, it is calm, it is quiet here. But inside, there was a brief process. There was prayers said for the martyrs of Jenin, and briefly, dozens of Palestinians raised the Palestinians' flag, and they chanted, "From Al-Aqsa to Jenin, Palestine is free." Now, it's worth telling you, in the past, when we've seen the Palestinian flag raised on moments like this, the Israeli military and the Israeli police have been very quick to intervene heavy-handedly, remove the flag, remove the protesters. They didn't do so, and I think that's because it's a sensitive time right now, diplomatically, for Israel. And that's because there is a visit coming up on Sunday by the US Secretary of State Antony Blinken. He'll be going to Egypt. He'll be coming here. He'll be meeting the Israeli government, the new hardline Israeli government, his first visit here since Benjamin Netanyahu's new hardline government took power. And he's also going to be meeting members of the Palestinian Authority. This is an important visit, I think, because, as I say, it's the first visit since the new government was formed. But it's also worth noting that among the international community, there's considerable disquiet now about the situation. Many around the Security Council table, and I can tell you that diplomats in New York have told me that they'd like to see the international community doing much more, getting more involved, proactively involved, trying to restart actively negotiations. They'd also like to see some more condemnation of what Israel's been doing. Now, what's standing in the way of anything like that happening? Well, what's standing in the way is the Biden administration. It has decided not to get actively involved in any sort of peace negotiations. That's been a decision from the top by President Biden. And it doesn't look like it's a decision that's going to change. But clearly, the Secretary of State is going to come here and see things for himself. But I think it's worth bearing in mind, too, that the Biden administration is so committed to what's going on in Ukraine that perhaps it sees what's going on here and what's gone on in Gaza and Jenin, even though they're incredibly serious, as a distraction from its main foreign policy focus. This is James Bayes for Inside Story in East Jerusalem.
All right, let's go ahead and bring in our guests from Chicago. Jihad Abu Salim is the education and policy associate of the Palestine Activism Program at the American Friends Service Committee. From Tel Aviv, Gideon Levy. He writes opinion pieces and a weekly column for the Haaretz newspaper. And from London, Julie Norman is associate professor in politics and international relations at University College London. A warm welcome to you all, and thanks so much for joining us today on Inside Story. Gideon, let me start with you today. Mr. Blinken's visit had been planned for a while now, but it has gained greater urgency since this latest deadly raid by Israeli forces in the occupied West Bank. What do we expect from this visit?
Unfortunately, Mohammed, very, very little, because this visit will, at its best, try to calm down, try to maintain the status quo, but not much more than this. The Americans have now many other issues. The Palestinian question, unfortunately, is quite in the bottom of the list of interests. And it will be really about trying to calm down the extremists in the Israeli government, try to calm down the violence. And I'm not sure it will be very efficient, because now everyone is very careful until Sunday, Monday, when he arrives here. 2-3 days later, bloodshed will be back, because the core problems are unsolved and he has no intentions to even start to solve any problem.
Jihad, from your perspective, let me ask you a similar question, because the U.S. has been expressing alarm about escalating violence and wanting to put forth some type of measure to de-escalate the violence. Is there anything that Secretary of State Blinken can do or offer to help in this regard?
I think the U.S. must hold Israel accountable, and the U.S. hasn't done so. And that's why Israel has been doing all the things it has been doing. Violence in the West Bank, unhinged settlement of Palestinian land, land seizure, stealing of Palestinian property, and attacking Gaza every few months. So I think, and this is a demand that many of those who support Palestinian rights in the U.S., including U.S. citizens and American organizations that want to see real change in U.S. policy, have been repeating for decades. Hold Israel accountable, cut military aid to Israel, and use the leverage that the U.S. has vis-a-vis the Israeli government and the state of Israel to put pressure on that state to cease its violence and oppression of the Palestinian people.
Julie, the U.S. State Department has said that Secretary Blinken will discuss the importance of a two-state solution with Israeli and Palestinian officials during his visit. Is it at all realistic at this point to think that he can actually move the needle on this front?
Well, I think as Gideon started us out saying, we really have to be realistic about expectations. Israel-Palestine negotiations, any kind of peace talks, is really not a priority for the administration at this time, especially with the war in Ukraine and other things going on. With that said, Israel-Palestine is still important for the U.S. I think the Biden administration sees this trip as important, given the ultra-nationalists and the hardliners in the new Israeli government to say very clearly the U.S. is still firmly on a two-state solution and also affirm that with Palestinians. That doesn't mean it's going to move it any closer to that, but it's really just messaging to affirm that position. And I would also add, this is also on the backdrop of joint Israeli and U.S. Military exercises this week to kind of send a message to Iran. So I would say the Israel-Palestine peace is part of this, but also Israeli and U.S. coordination on security efforts to counter Iran, I believe, is also part of this visit.
Gideon, you heard Julie there talk about the fact that in the background of all this is going to be the specter of Iran. Let me ask you, from your perspective, how much is Iran going to factor into the discussions that Secretary Blinken is going to be having?
You see, Iran is the best excuse not to deal with the Palestinian question. And Israel had manipulated the world and the United States to make Iran the main issue and to really smash the Palestinian issue, which is so much more crucial and so much older. Yes, Iran will be on the table, and Secretary Blinken, I guess, will do anything possible to calm down Israel also on this, to prevent any kind of adventures which few Israelis in the new government have in mind. But by the end of the day, this is only a cover-up, because by the end of the day, the Palestinian issue is the core issue, is the main problem, and both Americans and Israelis break away from it with the excuse that we have Iran now on our head. And unfortunately, on this issue, on the Palestinian issue, we have so little to expect. Blinken will say all the right words. Israel is already by now very experienced with ignoring condemnations, because condemnations are only condemnations. The world, the United States, the EU are not ready yet to move from words to actions. And as long as the world doesn't move from words to actions, Israel can continue with the occupation, with the brutality, with the violence, as much as it wants.
Jihad, when he's in the West Bank, Secretary Blinken is going to be meeting with Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas and other senior officials to discuss things such as the Israeli-Palestinian relations, as well as, the U.S. continuing to say how important it is to try to find a two-state solution. So I want to ask you first, do you think that these talks will be in any way productive? And secondly, the Palestinian Authority has said now that it has halted security cooperation with Israel. What impact is that going to have?
In terms of these meetings, I don't think that they will lead anywhere. And even if somehow Secretary Blinken manages to pressure the Netanyahu government and through talks with Palestinian officials to reach some sort of de-escalation of the situation, I don't think that he will be addressing the fundamental challenges and problems that are at the root of what's happening today. And by that, I mean the Israeli government's, the new government's plans for further settler expansion in the West Bank. We heard about the plan to build 18,000 housing units under what the new government calls the 1 million settlers plan. And of course, this is a government that commits itself to complete denial of Palestinian rights, of the Palestinian right for self-determination. So I think without addressing these fundamental issues here, the question of Palestinian existence, the very existence of Palestinians as a people on their land is threatened now. So without addressing these issues, I don't think there will be any progress. And whatever things Secretary Blinken achieves will be nothing but a Band-Aid that will probably temporarily calm the situation, assuming he would be successful at that. Now, regarding the Palestinian Authority and halting and the so-called halting of security coordination, mm-hmm. This has been repeated multiple times.
Julie, let me ask you. U.S. State Department is saying that Secretary Blinken is going to be meeting with President Sisi of Egypt in order to advance the U.S.-Egypt strategic partnership and promote peace and security in the region. How is that achieved?
Yeah, well, obviously, that's a big question. Again, one that I don't think we're going to see real concrete steps made on. I mean, usually when Blinken or any high U.S. official comes to the region, they do make a point to usually meet with Cairo as well, just to ensure, again, that those partnerships and relationships are kept warm, that things are moving forward kind of on those shared interests. But in terms of actually stabilization in the region, you know, I've heard from states saying some of the items they'll focus on are, elections coming up in Libya, trying to support a new civilian government in Sudan. So looking at some other states in the North Africa region and how Egypt and the U.S. might be able to support on those. All this, of course, with the backdrop of Egypt's own human rights record, which many in the U.S. State Department are very critical and uncomfortable with, but obviously continue that allyship for the sake of pragmatic reasons with Israel-Palestine and with other interests in the region as well. So I would say those conversations with Egypt are always kind of shadowed by that reality in the background.
Gideon, from your vantage point, what do you think can be expected from Mr. Blinken's travels to Egypt?
Egypt faces a catastrophe, an economical catastrophe, and the question is if the United States is ready to help more than it does. When Israel is getting such budgets, it's really a question, is Israel the one who needs now the American taxpayers' money, or is it Egypt where people are really starving? I mean, what is happening now in Egypt in recent years is really a humanitarian catastrophe. I hope Blinken will do something about it, but I can't promise it, obviously. And obviously, they will discuss also Iran. This is always the issue which is above anything else. But, Muhammad, if you just allow me, I would like just to refer in one sentence to the discussion before, because you mentioned again and again the two-state solution. And I would like to suggest that whoever suggests now the two-state solution doesn't mean to solve anything, but because the two-state solution, they all know it, is dead long time ago. And continuing to talk about the two-state solution with 700,000 Jewish settlers in the occupied territories is not much more than a very bad joke and a mean to continue the occupation. We have to understand the two-state solution. I don't know if it was never, if it was ever born. But for now, it's really dead, and we should change our discourse.
Jihad, how much has U.S. policy changed in the region since the administration of former President Trump?
The administration of former President Trump has accelerated a lot of the policies that are in Israel's favor. So from the standpoint of, you know, the Palestinian question, the Palestine question, Israel today feels empowered by the regional alliances it was able to forge during the Trump era, alliances that for the new Israeli government and the government before made it easier for these governments to proceed with plans to dismantle the Palestinian cause, to build more settlement, to continue denying Palestinians their freedom and self-determination, because they feel empowered by these agreements, and by that I mean the Abraham Accords. And of course, you know, the Trump administration has solidified Israel's stance with moving the embassy, and of course with making sure that there are facts on the ground that cannot be reversed, and of course by, you know, trying to undermine the Palestinian issue, the Palestinian cause, from a political issue to a non-political one, and we're still dealing with this legacy.
Julie, we know that there is tension between the Biden administration and the government of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Where is the relationship currently? And in some sense, is the Israeli government sort of waiting it out right now in the hopes that after the next election cycle, there will be another right-wing administration in the U.S.?
Well, I think from the Biden administration's point of view, they are wary of this new Netanyahu government. But their stance so far has been the U.S.'s relationship is with the state of Israel, not with any one politician or government. And that's the way that they've, I would say, rationalized or justified kind of the continuing relationship, you know, publicly at least. And this is in contrast, say, to Trump, who is very cozy personally with Netanyahu. So they've tried to frame it that way. From Netanyahu's government's point of view, it's interesting to see. I mean, certainly there are some on the right who would be even closer to them and would embrace them even stronger. But they've, as Jihad mentioned, they've gotten a pretty strong pass so far from the Biden administration as well. Biden hasn't moved to change anything about the embassy. He hasn't really substantially changed anything from Trump's policy towards the region. The style, yes, but really not the substance. So in some ways, Netanyahu can continue to coast with Biden or with another administration. So I think he's in a fairly good position, regardless of who is in the White House in 2 years.
And Julie, if I could just follow up with you, because earlier in the program, we heard from our diplomatic editor, James Bays, who was talking about the fact that many actors in the international community are hoping that there will be something that will advance negotiations when it comes to the Israeli-Palestinian peace process going forward. And they're really sort of watching this trip closely to see if there will be anything put forth that could improve the situation in that regard. Do you think there's any way that we could see Secretary Blinken in any way change the Biden administration policy, even in a very subtle way, towards Israel?
Well, again, I don't think they are looking right now to push for any kind of big peace deal or any kind of real change. I think the reality on the ground with both the Israeli government as well as the PA right now does not make that viable, much less the Biden administration's own priorities or capabilities right now. I think we will see nudging on some of the areas we've talked about, security coordination and whatnot. Many in the U.S. are hoping that Blinken will push even somewhat on settlements and these kinds of issues that have obviously been longstanding, where the administration has been relatively quiet, even rhetorically on that. But in terms of really moving the needle, I see that as somewhat limited. Often the U.S. at this point leans into more economic relationships, you know, places where aid can go, things like that. But in terms of real political movement, I think it's probably going to be something more on the ground in the region that shifts, that a change with the PA or a change with something internally rather than something that Blinken or the U.S. can really bring or impose at this time.
All right. And Julie, just one other thing. We have less than a minute. How closely do you think the international community is going to be watching this visit?
You know, there's always a tension on Israel-Palestine, as Jihad and Gideon have both said. You know, this is such a core issue. It's such a core conflict that affects so many people. So there will be eyes on it. But I think everyone is also realistic about the expectations, too. There's, you know, a lot of moving parts right now in international relations that I think this visit is one piece in a lot of other things that are going on with Iran and Ukraine. So whenever Blinken is anywhere, it draws attention. But I think most people are keeping their expectations low nonetheless.
All right. Well, we have run out of time, so we're going to have to leave our conversation there. Thanks so much to all of our guests, Jihad Abu Salim, Gideon Levy, and Julie Norman. And thank you for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. For me, Mohammed Jamjoum, and the whole team here, bye for now.